Hello, my name's Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork One and Other. The date today is the 27th of August 2009 and the time is 11:20 a.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you come from.
I'm Jane Margaret Glaister, I'm 51 and I live in a village called Flockton near Wakefield in West Yorkshire.
And how are you today?
I'm really quite excited, yes, so yes, looking forward to it.
Can I ask, first of all, what was it that motivated you to take part in One Another?
Well, part of my job is working in culture, so I knew about the fourth plinth and I'd always been interested in that. I know about Anthony Gormley's work as well, and it just seemed just an exciting opportunity, really, because it was so different. And so I applied for it and very fortunately got a place.
And when you found out that you had got a place, how did you decide how to spend your hour on the plinth?
Well, it was a bit difficult because I'd been told I'd got a place, but I'd also was just about to go into hospital for an operation. So I was having to sort of juggle and talk to my consultant about whether I could manage it or not. So that was okay. But then in the end, I thought, well, Trafalgar Square, everybody thinks of pigeons. And I'm sorry, I know it's a cliche, but they do. So they think of pigeons. And I remember coming when I was young and just feeding the pigeons. So I thought of pigeons, and then I'm really interested in Charles Darwin and the thought of, you know, well, somebody like Charles Darwin should have a place on the fourth plinth, you know, because he's such an iconic figure. And it's the anniversary of his death this year and the publication of The Origin of Species. And Darwin did a lot of work on pigeons, you know, in terms of sorting out the sort of evolution theory and things. So I thought, well, perhaps I can try and make a connection between pigeons and Darwin. So found this giant pigeon costume, which is proving to be a bit difficult to manoeuvre, and have attempted to do some sort of then facts on Darwin and pigeons, which I can distribute to the audience. However, I might just fall over or go to sleep.
And how are you feeling now about going up on the plinth?
I am excited. I really can't imagine what it's like at the moment. It looks very small and I've got these giant pigeon feet. And I think what is interesting is you've got two different things going on, because you've got the visual, which the people in Trafalgar Square need something visual, because you can't really hear if even with the microphone talking to them. But then there's the other on the website as well, which is a very different sort of experience, and it's how or whether you can actually manage those, or whether or not you just do what you feel like and enjoy yourself.
And can I ask about your work?
I'm Director of Culture, Tourism and Sport with the City of Bradford, so I've been there 6 years now, and was formerly President of the Museums Association, so have worked quite a bit in London as well, so so it's very much part of, you know, the job that I do as well, so do a lot of exhibitions, a lot of theatre stuff, so.
Fantastic. And do you enjoy it?
I love it, yeah. And Bradford's such an interesting place, you know, really diverse community. And we've just in the city of centre of Bradford actually had a giant sand sculpture of Darwin. So I think it's still up, but it probably comes down this weekend. So that's quite a nice connection as well between Bradford and Trafalgar Square and what I'm doing in a way.
And what's happening in Bradford at the moment?
Well, we've got a number of events going on during the summer. So the whole of Centenary Square, which is a bit like Trafalgar Square in Bradford, has been taken over and made into a garden, and as I say, a sand sculpture of Darwin. And we've got a fabulous exhibition at one of the art galleries in the city centre, which is 1,000 bird pictures to, again, make those connections, you know, with Darwin and the birds and Origin of Species and things. So, lots of things. So we're about to completely transform the city centre as well. So that's going to be exciting.
Fantastic. Sounds like a very rewarding job. Do you manage to get your work-life balance? I imagine there's a great deal of...
Well, it's really peculiar because most of the things that people do in their leisure time is actually part of my work. So you find yourself, you know, if you're going to the theatre, even if it's, you know, I took my daughter to see The Lion King, for instance, you find yourself sort of thinking about the lighting and looking at the technical stuff rather than actually enjoying it or going to an exhibition and things. But, you know, what a fabulous work to do, really. It's better than I used to sort of work in a fish finger packing factory when I was a student, you know, and, you know, this is miles, miles better than that.
Brilliant. Can you explain to me a little bit about how you came to be where you are today in this kind of pivotal pivotal position in the
world. Oh, goodness, right. I was born in North Ferriby and brought up in Hull, in working class environment, but a very interesting school, one of the first proper comprehensive schools where art and dance particularly were encouraged, which was unusual in schooling at that time. And I eventually got a scholarship to go to the Laban Centre of Dance, and which was a fabulous experience, but then went on and did English and History in Manchester. Didn't know what I was going to do and ended up doing voluntary service overseas in Nigeria. Fantastic experience. If anybody ever wants a life-transforming experience, go and do VSO. Came back from Nigeria where I was teaching and got a job in Lancaster Museums temporarily as a receptionist. And then ultimately got a job at the Hunterian Museum in the University of Glasgow, where the professor was actually an expert in Nigerian ethnography. So there's a nice connection there. And I did a degree in anthropology as well. So Glasgow was great. And then it just moved on. I went, got a job in Kirkcaldy. Then I got a job in West Yorkshire. And eventually, you know, to Heady Heights, literally Heady Heights. But It's been a great experience because you get to do so many things, you know. So one day I might be doing sorting out some sort of event for children to get them involved in the Olympics, the 2012 Olympics, for instance, or giving bursaries to some aspiring young athletes. Next day it might be sort of preview for a major exhibition, or, you know, it might be press night for the theatre event. So, you know, what more could you ask for, really? Although I do have bereavement services as well within my department, so things like crematoria and cemeteries, but that is absolutely fascinating, you know, so love it.
You've lived in a lot of different places. Mm. How do you think that has shaped you, living in so many different places and having so many different experiences like that?
It's been so important, because you really get to see how you can cope with different environments and different people, and able to sort of relate to different communities of one sort or another, but still be true to yourself. And I just enjoy the experience of meeting different people and different communities and different cultures and other things. So I really, really have enjoyed that. But I've been in the village that I live in now for 18 years, so that's quite a long time. So my daughter was born there, but that's been lovely as well, because a village community is just fabulous. And when she was little, the whole village, you know, sort of look after children, really. So it was nice. And but I think I'll probably move on somewhere.
Do you think you'd leave
Yorkshire? I don't know whether it would be Yorkshire, but I quite like now to go back to living in a big city, you know, because I like the buzz of it, and it's, you know, all the different, even if you don't participate in them, all the different things that you do. So I think I probably will do that, you know, falling out of some apartment in Paris to have my cappuccino sort of is quite appealing, really, you know.
Can I ask you to say a little bit about the time you spent at the Laban Centre? How that was, because it's a very significant dance.
It is, but when I went, it wasn't in the building that it's in now, which was, fabulous. We would have loved that building. And so it was in a village called Attleston in Surrey, so, you know, quite a small community. But fairly iconic people were there at the time, including Liz Ullman, who was Rudolf Laban's partner, and she was still alive and she was there, and people like Marion Davis, who was the administrator, and iconic names, and Henry Metcalf, and people from, it's quite small, and people from all over the world. And again, you know, that was phenomenal. So there were people, I remember there were people from Eastern European countries, which I'd never even heard of them, because, you know, in those days they were still quite remote. There were people from America. So in a group of about, I think there were about 15 in the year that I went, from all over the world, and as a, you know, iconic teachers, really, but in this very small village in Attleston, so you sort of huddle together, and fascinated in terms of movement and dance. And my real icon is Martha Graham, which is why my daughter's called Martha.
So. Do you still dance? Or did you keep up with dancing?
I still do some of the sort of exercises, if you like, but I don't perform, and but I still, you know, and if a piece of music comes on, you just have to move with it. I think, you know, that always happens if you sort of trained in dance. A friend of mine who's actually a musician, she said, oh, you can tell that I was in, she was trained in music and I was trained in dance, because when a piece of music comes on, we just, you know, our bodies move in different ways. And I think that's probably true.
I feel silly asking what are your passions, because you've got so many, but is there a particular area now that that you're really interested in?
Well, interesting, because I'm sort of been convalescing, so I've been reading rather a lot, and I've almost, so I originally did some anthropology when I was in Nigeria and came back to Scotland, and I've suddenly got really interested in anthropology again, so I've started reading an awful lot about Congo and Zaire, which is an area I knew nothing about, and it's just absolutely fascinating. And I've suddenly, you know, all that comparative stuff with countries' developments and countries' cultures and things. So I begin now to think perhaps, you know, I'd like to start and do some travelling again and, you know, go back to some of the anthropology, but maybe not.
And today you're going to be on the fourth pin.
I am.
What do your friends and family think about you taking part?
Well, half of them are absolutely furious with me because they don't think I should be going on so early after the But no, hey, that's fine. I've checked it all out with my consultant. And the rest are really just sort of want to see what's happening. You know, my sister's a head teacher in Luton, and she set up a little viewing room for the kids to go in and have a look, you know. And so they'll be interested. I got people at Bradford City Council who were waiting with bated breath to see if I actually make it up on the plinth. So they're excited for me as well. So they've all sent me good wishes, which is good.
And what kind of experience do you hope to get out of standing on the plinth today?
I mean, just what a privilege, really. You know, one and only time you could ever stand on the fourth plinth, unless you were doing something illegal, I should think. And just that experience of being on such a platform. I'm not going to do anything major in terms of performance or communication or anything, but just that experience of being up there and seeing London from a different viewpoint, I think.
And what's important for you in your life going forwards now with your future?
Oh, I think, I mean, something you mentioned earlier, which was about work-life balance, I think that's probably important, but also continuing to, you know, be excited by things. I think that's so important, and learning new things. I just love learning new things. When we were preparing for this, my daughter and I were going through the Origin of Species and picking out all the bits on pigeons, completely balmy. And the things I learned, I didn't know dodos were a pigeon. Did you know dodos were a pigeon? No, you see, I didn't know that, so... So learning new things, I just love it. So.
And who have you brought with you today?
There's my daughter, Martha, and my friend David, and some of Martha's friends are also turning up, and a couple of colleagues who I used to work with who are based in London. So,
great.
Mind you, they might all be really embarrassed by me and go away. So.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add about you or about taking part in one another? Kind of last words.
I hope what I would really like to do, but I don't know if it's going to be possible, is to meet all the other 2,400 participants at some time, because I think that, you know, that diversity is just amazing, and I'm really looking forward as well to finding out why people decided to do what they do. So, you know, if this is going to be archived and we can all go through the archives, I think that'd be really funny. And then do we get badges to say I was a plinther? Be nice.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Okay.